This morning is from John chapter 20, verses 10 to 18. That's John in the New Testament, chapter 20, verses 10 to 18. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the temple, outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So what a morning. Isn't God good? Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. We used to do that at 7 o'clock at Scarhal Lake in Penticton. And we would wake up neighbors as we declared that as a church. But I don't care. Christ is risen. Give the first slide up there, please, Nieves. Thank you. In 1997, a Swedish couple attempted to register their son's name as this. Pronounced, by the way, wait for it, Albin. Now, the Swedish authorities refused. The couple were fined the equivalent of $700. And told to find a shorter name. They did. They attempted to register the child's name as A. Just one letter. Unfortunately, the authorities replied that single letter names were also prohibited. Now, I don't know what eventually the name of the child was, but I do know this. In Isaiah 49, verse 16, it says there that our names are engraved on the palm of God's hand. God knows us by name. In the gospel accounts of the resurrection, only two names are mentioned by Jesus. They're both found in John's gospel. Now, of course, I am sure that Jesus spoke the names of the other disciples in the 40-day period between the resurrection and his ascension. But we only know of twice, where Jesus specifically called a disciple by name. In John 21, Jesus addresses Simon Peter. It's over breakfast, maybe a day or two after the resurrection. And in that conversation, Peter finds forgiveness and restoration and hope. The second time, the other time, is in the passage that Eleanor, thank you, read for us. It's outside the empty tomb on the first Easter morning. And this time, Jesus addresses Mary Magdalene. And just like Simon Peter, Mary finds new hope. For Mary, that first Easter morning began very early. John 20, verse 1 says that she went to the tomb while it was still dark. The other Gospels tell us that she was not alone, but accompanied by other women to perform a funeral ritual of covering the dead body in spices. When she arrived, she sees the stone sealing the tomb has already been removed. Mary does not enter the tomb. Instead, she jumps to a conclusion. The body of Jesus has been moved, or at worst, stolen. So she runs to Simon Peter and to another of Jesus' disciples, whom we assume is John, to tell them that the body is missing. Peter and John, they then rush to the temple. Just as an aside, there is more running in the gospel accounts of the resurrection than anywhere else in the gospels. So Peter and John run to the empty tomb. And as they enter the tomb, they see the bizarre evidence of the folded grave clothes. For those of you that wonder about the resurrection, just think about this. If the body of Jesus had been stolen, why would thieves take time to fold the laundry? Peter and John depart, but Mary stays. And look at how she feels. She's weeping. Distress has turned to desperation, even perhaps despair. She's consumed by tears. Two angels appear, seated precisely where the body of Jesus should have been. You would have thought surely seeing angels would cheer her up. But no, even angels cannot console her. She's still crying. And then she senses someone else's presence. She turns around. Jesus stands there. But Mary doesn't know who it is. Some wonder why Mary did not recognize Jesus. Had his appearance changed? Was the tone of his voice different? Some think, and in some movie portrayals of this moment, Jesus has his back to the rising sun, and so his face is in shadow. But whatever the circumstances, most Bible scholars know that Mary was so overwhelmed. Her eyes just swollen with grief and loss and tears that it was impossible for her to tell who was standing there. In any case, and this is the telling detail, Mary was not expecting Jesus. She'd been at the cross. She'd seen him die. Her Friday at the cross, so to speak, had not ended. Sorrow was all that she could imagine her life to be from this day on. So whoever this was in the garden, he couldn't be Jesus. But it is Jesus. Jesus is there. Jesus is alive. What happens next? Jesus asks questions. I love the fact that Jesus asks questions. I mean, here he is. He's risen from the dead. This is the greatest event in all of human history and the greatest triumph ever known. And what does Jesus do? He asks questions. I'd expect him to do a victory lap around the tomb, high five with the angels, say, "It's me!" But he doesn't. He asks questions. Jesus loved to ask questions. Of the 67 times in Mark's gospel where Jesus talks with people, Jesus asks questions 50 of those times. In the gospels, he mostly asks questions, not because he needs to know the answer, but because the person answering the question needs to know the answer. Jesus asks questions to draw people closer, to prepare them for some great truth that he wants to share with them. And it's exactly the same in this passage. I don't sense any frustration in here, the way he asks the questions. There's no annoyance, there's no harshness in his voice. Rather, Jesus is plowing the ground of Mary's heart. He's exposing the soil of her grief, ready to plant the seed of this greatest revelation ever known, that he is alive. He asks two questions. The first one repeats the question that the angels asked just moments before. Why are you crying? Think about that question. Why are you crying? It's a comforting question. It's a question to inspire hope. Why are you crying? As for his second question, this is the great spiritual question of our and all time. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Who's going to answer the deepest longings of your heart? Who's going to fill the vacuum of your soul? Who's the one who will fill your eternal horizon? They're powerful questions. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And they're not meant as a test. They're an invitation. Mary cannot hear the tenderness or the hope in these questions. Her only response to this unrecognizable figure is, "Tell me where you've put him." And then Jesus utters one word. One word which changes everything for Mary. For with this one word, her despair will vanish and a new reality will open up for her. With this one word, her Good Friday world is over and her Easter Sunday world begins. And what is this word? It's a name. It's not Jesus' name. On Easter morning, the word that changes Mary's life is Mary's name. Jesus calls her by name, Mary. And instantly, her anguish disappears. Her eyes and her ears are opened. And she turns to him and calls him by the title which must have inspired her ever since she first met Jesus, Rabboni, my teacher, my guide for life, the one who set me free, the one who's placed my feet on a rock, the one who has delivered me, Rabboni. Last week, as I was looking through some family heirlooms, I found a postcard dated August the 3rd, 1947. It is from one of the world's greatest 20th century concert cellists. His name was Pierre Fournier. It was written to my father. In 1947, my father was a cello student of Pierre Fournier at the Paris Conservatoire. And Pierre Fournier changed my father's life. One of the reasons that my father became a world-renowned orchestral cellist is because he was tutored by Pierre Fournier. But here's the point. In the postcard, Pierre Fournier addresses my father by name. On Easter morning, Mary does not receive a postcard from Jesus. But like the postcard, Jesus addresses Mary by name. And that changes her life. This morning, Jesus addresses you and me by name. Paul, Doris, Paulie, Andrea, Don, Art, by name. It's you and me that he longs for. It's you and me that he wants to have a relationship with and give that hope to. The resurrection rewrites our lives because we're called by name by the risen Jesus. So how will you respond as Jesus utters your name this morning? How will you respond? Who are you looking for? Is Jesus just a figment of religious imagination? Is Jesus just a nice idea? Is Jesus just a great historical figure? Or is Jesus your and my Lord? Your and my God. Your and my Savior. Your and my Redeemer. Your and my all in all. Your and my King. How will you respond? Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? It's Easter, and Jesus calls you by name. Amen.